Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
We've got an interesting and jam-packed show once again on the Growing the Game podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. That's how we grow the game here. I am Michael Ball, and coming up on the show, we're going to hear from Tyler Lloyd. He helped coach his team to the CFL-NFL Flag Football Tournament championship. It was held last weekend at Mosaic Stadium. That team, the North of Dewdney Riders, now off to Ottawa to play in the national tournament, and then maybe go to the Pro Bowl down south in Orlando. Who knows? Good luck to those boys and girls. Speaking of girls, how about Memphis Hartman? She's a quarterback for the RMF Adam Canadians, helping lead them to a great season. We'll talk to her a little bit later on. Sawyer Bittner's helping the Regina Thunder in their quest for a championship in the CJFL. They open up the playoffs in Edmonton this weekend. We'll check in with Sawyer and the Thunder's preparations. Want to give a shout out too to the Rams and the Huskies. Huskies have their blackout game against the UBC Thunderbirds this weekend at Griffith Stadium. That's always an entertaining game. Great crowd atmosphere there. And the Rams are on the road taking on the Alberta Golden Bears, coming off their bye week after a big victory over those Huskies in the military game right before the Thanksgiving bye. So good luck to those two squads. We'll hear from Chris Best, the former Rough Rider, one of our panelists on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network on 620 CKRM. And speaking of the Riders, we're going to check in with Cresden Butler now in our highly popular Profiles feature.
Time now for Profiles with Riders defensive back Cresden Butler. So what did you know about Saskatchewan before you got here, big man?
I knew nothing about Saskatchewan. I actually trained with Darren Durant in Atlanta. So that's how I, you know, knew about it a little bit, but not a lot.
So your impressions of Regina, Saskatchewan, and the new digs here?
It's nice, man. It's a nice stadium. You know, it's you can tell it's a football town. So that makes it, you know, feel like home a little bit.
So tell the folks, if they don't know, where is home for you?
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. That's where I live. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm in the mountains, so the cold weather don't bother me.
So this isn't Atlanta, Georgia, okay?
Right.
So it's a little bit more boring. What do you do in your spare time?
Just hang out with, you know, my guys. We play Madden all the time and try to do a little shopping, man, but the mall is pretty small, so.
So do you play career mode, or do you just pick a team and play guys, or what?
I just pick a team, you know, random pick, and you know, play against, you know, guys online, or, you know, they come to the house and we'll play. So,
are you a fantasy football guy in terms of the NFL? Are you in any leagues?
No, I'm not. I know a couple of guys that's on the team that is, and I'm like, how do you get into that? You know, I just like watching, you know, football on TV. So,
who's your favorite guy to watch in the NFL? Like, you can't, if he's on the TV, you won't walk past the TV. You really like watching him.
I love to watch Antonio Brown. We came in the NFL together, drafted to Pittsburgh together, so, you know, he always puts on the show.
Okay, so there's been talk about him that he's a cancer, he's a hothead, he's not what he appears. What do you know of Antonio Brown?
I know he wants to win.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like that is a competitor, 6th, 7th round pick, and he is where he is now. You know, he wants to win, so I like that about him.
How would you describe yourself? Give us the scouting report on Cresden Butler, your best attribute, you know, in this league.
I think play recognition, smart player, you know, wisdom comes with age. So, you know, smart player, and once he sees something, or once I see something, I go. So,
Cresden, what did you think of this league when you came up here? You know, you got the wider field, you got the motion, you got the 20-second play clock.
You know, I really didn't know none of that until I got on the field and practiced, and I was like, you know, it's like it's 10 more yards added to the field, and then, you know, they got the waggle going on, and, you know, you got more than 11 players on the field. So, yeah, I just had to get used to it. So,
what do you think of the quality of this league? You know, you see guys like yourself from the NFL, Trent Richardson, come up. Some guys maybe say, well, it's just the CFL, I'll get back to the NFL. But a lot of guys, once I talk to them, say, hey, they have an appreciation for this league.
Oh, it's definitely a lot of talent in the CFL. You know, it's not always they weren't good enough to make it to the NFL. It was just that something happened, or, you know, numbers game in the NFL put you back down here. It's a lot of things that go into being in the CFL. It's definitely not talent.
Besides Madden, got any hobbies? Anything you like to do hobby-wise?
I play the piano a little bit. I sing a little bit. You know, you got to catch me sometimes, but that's a hobby of mine.
So that'd be a romantic night for you? Get the piano out after you cook dinner, maybe, or order dinner in?
Oh, yeah. Back home, I have my little studio downstairs. So, you know, I play the piano and make some beats. So that's
okay,
my
cool
hobby.
Tell us some of your favorite musicians.
I'm a big fan of Tyrese, Tank. I'm an R&B type of guy. So, Tyrese Tank and Jamie Foxx. So
okay, yep. So describe Cresden Butler, the perfect day for Cresden Butler. What would that entail?
The perfect day.
Yeah.
Sunny outside.
Yeah.
Glass of lemonade and just chilling. That's a perfect day for me.
That's Cresden Butler. Yeah. Best of luck, man.
Thank you.
All right, time now to speak with the quarterback of the Regina Thunder, the PFC, Sawyer Bittner. How are you today, Sawyer?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it. Getting ready for a big playoff game against the Edmonton Huskies. Do tell us, what do you know about the Huskies?
Oh, they're a very good team, very athletic. I think they finished the season 7-1. We played them once up in Edmonton. We got down early and then came back, and they kind of took it away down the stretch. We didn't play like we wanted to, so we're looking for some redemption this weekend. But they're a good team, so we're going to have to come in ready to go and focus. So
without giving too much away with regards to the playoff matchup, obviously I know how guys are guarded in the playoffs. What do you think your key to success is against them?
I think getting off to a fast start. You know, like I said, when we played them earlier in the season, we kind of dug ourselves a hole, and it was pretty tough to get out of that. So I think starting fast and being focused right from the opening kickoff will be a big key for us.
Now, I've watched you play quite a bit this year, but somebody that hasn't watched Sawyer Bittner play this year, I'm talking Sawyer Bittner. Describe for me how you think Sawyer Bittner is. Like, give us your scouting report, Sawyer.
Oh, it's a tough one. Definitely a pocket passer, not very fast, but likes to sit in the pocket. Has a great coaching staff who puts a very good passing system around him, and it's a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to play in. So, you know, I like to throw the ball quite a bit when you have a great group of receivers. So if you like watching a nice aerial offense, I think that's what you want to come see when you watch me and the Thunder play. So it's a lot of fun playing.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about your offensive coordinator, Stefan Edson, and how special that relationship is between you and him.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, this is my third year with him, and we've kind of, our relationship has grown throughout the years, and we've got a lot of trust in each other this year, and he's kind of put more on my plate this year than in the past, and I've enjoyed that. So I thought our passing game has been pretty on point this season, and we're looking forward to getting better and being ready to go for the playoffs. So,
and talk about,
it's been a good season.
Talk about some of the weapons that you have at your disposal in that receiving core, if you will, for a minute.
Yeah, for sure. They're all very good, all very athletic, very smart players. Levi Paul has had a very good season. Lee Brown stepped up, had a very good season, and then Jaquin Swans had to step in once Chris Calcutt broke his collarbone there against Saskatoon, and stepped up and had a very good season. And we also got Greg Lamb and Jesse St. John and Isaac Ford, who are also very athletic, very good receivers. So, yeah, I got a lot of weapons at our disposal, and a great running game and a great O-line too. So we've got a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, let's talk about that running back, because he definitely helps balance that offense for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Victor, yeah, he's very good. He can run and catch. So, you know, seeing some of the stuff he can do in games is awesome. And, you know, it all starts up front. I know he'll play that as well. We got a great line, and it all starts with him. So Victor benefits from them. But like I said, he's a very, very good running back, one of the best in the league. So it's great to have him on our team.
How good does this team travel in terms of, you know, your leadership on the road to keep everybody focused and ready to go?
Yeah, I know. I think we've been on the road a lot this year. You know, we went to Hamilton. Won a big game on the road there, won a big game in Saskatoon. So, you know, we've got some experienced guys that have traveled lots. And the reality of the matter is we're going to have to travel all throughout the playoffs. Not just how it's going to go. So we're going to have to be focused and ready to go and rely on our leaders, like you said, to make sure we're focused, even though we're not at home. So we're looking forward to it.
Hey, Sawyer Bittner, quarterback of the Regina Thunder, joining us here on Growing the Game podcast. So how long have you been playing football for, Sawyer?
Oh, see, I've been playing since I was 7 years old.
And who got you into the game?
My dad did, actually. He's a football coach, coached me in high school and Pee Wee and all, coming up through the ranks. So, yeah, I started in the Moose Jaw Minor Football League year. It was ages 7 to 12. We all played together. So it was quite the age gap, but I started on the defensive line. So they put all the kind of the 7-year-olds who usually just get tripped over playing defensive tackle. That's how I got the majority of my tackles. But, yeah, so I started when I was 7 playing in the Moose Jaw Minor Football League.
What made you want to be a quarterback, and when did you become a quarterback?
You know, I became a quarterback when I was about 10 years old. Just growing up watching guys like Kerry Joseph, growing up, Darren Durant, and then my favorite guy in the NFL is Eli Manning. I get a lot of gruff about that, but he's my guy. So, you know, just watching those guys growing up, and I always been able to throw the ball. I wasn't very athletic, so I couldn't really play anything else really. So I kind of started throwing the ball around, and I was having fun with that. So I just decided to roll with it and be a quarterback. So it's been fun.
That's hilarious because the quarterback's the most important position in football, and you're kind of downplaying it. Hey, I wasn't a very good athlete, but I ended up being the quarterback. So are you a guy that commutes for Moose Jaw every day to practice? How does that work?
No, I don't. I do in the summer at the start of the season when I'm working, but when school starts, I live in Regina at a house there with Levi Paul actually on our team, and Dustin Urbach, who's an ex-Thunder guy too. So,
what are you taking in school, Sawyer?
Just arts science classes right now. So,
maybe eventually get into
teaching, but we'll see. So,
okay, what's your football future like? What do you what kind of aspirations do you have, Sawyer?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I kind of take it season by season. You know, I've enjoyed. Love my time with the Regina Thunder, and you know, it's been awesome so far. So I'm really looking forward to this playoff run. And then, you got you guys doing great things in the city, like Noah and stuff, and Brandon Bridge. You know, bringing some light to the Canadian quarterback kind of thing. So, you know, we got a lot of good quarterbacks coming out of Saskatchewan now. So just to be kind of part of that swing right now is pretty cool. So yeah, that's kind of about it for me right now.
You know, that's a very good point, and you're a good guy to ask this question of. So Brandon Bridge is having some success, and he's trying to highlight the Canadian quarterback position in all his interviews too. Does that kind of, does that make you feel good because you're a Canadian playing quarterback, and when you reach a certain level in this country, it's almost like you have to quit playing. So does that kind of, you know, maybe say, hey, maybe there is a chance?
You know, yeah, it is. You know, I think it's all based on, you know, if you can play or not. And I think Brandon Bridge has shown that, you know, whether he's Canadian or not, you know, he's a very, very good quarterback. But, yeah, it is kind of cool for him to be Canadian and be out there doing his thing because since I've been around, you know, there really hasn't been a guy in the CFL to do that since he's been here. So it's been pretty cool. You know, and like you said, it is tough. You know, if you want to get up there, like, you pretty much have to switch positions or, like you said, stop playing. So I know it's kind of tough. But to see a guy like Brandon Bridge doing his thing right now is – pretty inspirational for I think Canadian quarterbacks all around the country, no matter what level you're playing at. So
I've played junior football, so I like the product, and you're obviously in the middle of playing junior football. But some kid that's listening to this Growing the Game podcast that's thinking about, gee, should I try junior football? Give it a plug. Why should they try junior football?
I just think it's tons of fun. You know, it's all guys who love football. You know, all guys from different walks of life. You know, some guys are working, some guys are going to school, some guys are doing both, and that's all about doing football. So there's really, you know, and if you don't think school's for you right now and you want to come play football, I think junior football is a great option, you know, or if you want to develop your skills and then eventually try playing in the in new sports or CFL or whatever, you know, it's a great start. So, you know, it's just lots of fun. Very competitive, especially in the PFC. Great rivalries with the Hilltops and then the Huskies like this weekend. So it's CJFL is a lot of fun. That's one of the main point I can say. Lots of fun.
That's the well-spoken quarterback of the Regina Thunder, the PFC, in action this weekend in the playoffs against the Edmonton Huskies. Thanks, Sawyer. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, we're here with a future star in football, Memphis Hartman. Now, Memphis, what team did you play for?
The Canadiens.
Now, what was that? Is that Adam?
Yeah.
Adam Canadian. So you're, what, 11 years old, Memphis?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. How long have you been playing football for? A couple years?
About 5 years if you include flag, but with tackle it's been 3 or 4.
Okay, so how do you like playing with the boys?
I love playing with the boys. They're fun, they're athletic and competitive, and it's fun putting some of them on their butts.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so now, before we get into the positions you play, how did you get into football? Who got you into football?
My dad.
Your dad. So is he's a big football guy, a coach? I know he coaches at Campbell, right?
Yeah, he coached at Campbell, and he played for the Thunder with, and his coach was Ryan Hall, so that's how he got into Campbell. And I basically, like, most of my memories from when I was a kid were, like, from football, so...
Growing up, hanging around your dad, okay. So who's your favorite, do you have a favorite professional player you like to watch?
Not really, actually. I guess kind of like Peyton Manning. He's been kind of my role model.
Oh, good. So, yeah, and they just put a statue up in Indianapolis of him and retired his jersey just the last game there in Indianapolis. Okay, so what positions do you play in football?
I play quarterback mostly, and defense. It doesn't really matter on defense. Like, I'm usually a linebacker or a D-line. I've played running back before, which was fun, but didn't get the ball that much. I've been all over.
So is it better to throw a touchdown pass or put somebody on their butt?
It's better to throw a touchdown pass, I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is the first time ever it's happened in RMF, but a lot of people are saying it was pretty cool to see Memphis Hartman throw a touchdown pass. Tell us about the play. Who are you playing, and how far was the pass?
I'm not actually that sure. I didn't even know that I made a touchdown pass. I was like, because I don't remember all of my throws. Like, my center, he keeps asking me, was that a good snap or not? And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, so I think it was against probably not the Thunderbirds. It was against, I'm thinking, the Griffins, mm-hmm. and it was probably about 10 yards or more, probably.
Cool. So what do you like best? What do you like best about playing quarterback?
I would say the glory, but not really. It's just fun. I haven't had as much fun playing football in, like, a really long time. It's fun being kind of like the leader, the role model for the other players on the offense, and making touchdown passes, like he said.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's probably nice to start. You said as a running back you didn't get the ball very much, so it's probably nice to start the play with the ball in your hand every time.
Oh, definitely. Especially when we do those bootlegs and the tentative wedges. Those are the best.
Yeah, you can run or pass, whatever you want to do there. So what do you hope to do in football? You want to play with the guys as long as you can, and then go maybe try out for the Riot and play women's football?
Definitely. I want to be, like, as far as I can get, and maybe someday probably play in the CFL, be the first woman to play CFL.
There's a great goal. Hey, besides football, are there any other sports or activities you like to do?
Baseball, definitely.
I play baseball, catcher. Oh, back catcher. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Oh, well, Memphis, it was great talking to you. Congratulations on a great season. By the way, how did your season wrap up?
Oh, we were good, and we did pretty well. We ended up being, like, seventh in the league in mm-hmm. the end, but we had a great season. We had good players, and it was fun playing with them. We won most of our games, but then there were some games that were very close that we lost. We won our bowl game against the Cougars, which mm-hmm. we felt kind of bad for the Cougars because we won 17-0. Mm-hmm. But it was very exciting to be able to win the bowl game.
I never asked you this. I'm sorry. What's your favorite thing about football? What do you like? What do you like best about the game?
The friends that you make, the players.
Can't say it any better than that. That's Memphis Hartman with the Adam Canadians, our guest on Growing the Game podcast. Thank you, Memphis.
You're welcome.
All right, joined now by Tyler Lloyd of Regina here, whose team won the CFL-NFL flag football tournament that was held at Mosaic Stadium this past weekend. And I've coached with Tyler, so I know him well. How are you, Tyler?
Fantastic, Maldi. Fantastic.
Okay, so 12 and 13-year-olds, like grade 7s, grade 8s, that's who was involved in this tournament as far as the team that you coached?
Absolutely, yeah. It's an initiative with the NFL flag football and CFL flag football, and they're hosting a tournament in every CFL city, and 11 and 12-year-olds co-ed tournament, so you had to have one member of the opposite sex on the field at all times, and we tossed a team together and came out on top.
Yeah, so you didn't get much practice time in this thing?
We practiced for about 2.5 hours, I think. So we threw it together. Luckily, we've got a pretty good system from flag football coaching in the past, and lots of these kids had played with me before, but there was two kids that I'd never met before, and they were both excellent additions.
Now, you had a team that actually had won the NFL Spring Flag Football League at a younger level, and you guys went down out west to Vancouver. So you've been traveling quite a bit with this flag football thing.
This flag football thing is, I always thought I was a tackle football coach. Who knew I was going to be a flag football coach? Yeah, with my oldest son, and so U14, we won the NFL flag football and went to Vancouver and played in nationals at UBC and finished fifth there. So hopefully we can get a better result and win this one in Ottawa and head down to Orlando and show those American guys how real football is played.
Yeah, no, that's quite a thing. You guys get to go down now to the Grey Cup in Ottawa during Grey Cup week. What happens down there? Have you found out quite yet?
We don't really know the details exactly. I think they fly us down. So they're flying the team down, flying the parents down, one parent for each kid and two coaches and flying us into to Ottawa for Grey Cup week, the Monday the 20th. I think the tournament is a full day, similar to what it was here, full day on the 21st. And then there's a bunch of CFL PA initiatives that I think we're taking part in and some surprises for the kids on the Wednesday and then fly home.
That's outstanding. And, of course, if you win that, you go down to the Pro Bowl in Orlando. That, like you said, teach the Americans how to play real football. But, hey, you've coached I've coached the tackle football, but you've coached, obviously, flag football, too. What do you like about the flag football game?
You know, flag football is just such a fast game. You know, it's a really good opportunity for high-end tackle football kids to work on their skill and development. And, you know, you get a lot of touches on the ball. It's a quick game. You start at your, you know, 5-yard line, you get three chances to get a first down, then three chances to score. And it's a really, really quick game. You can work on man coverage, throw in a little bit of zone, but it's basically, you know, if you're working on your technique and you've got excellent technique, you've got a chance to win the game.
What I like about flag football in general, Tyler, is it teaches the fundamentals of the game without really a risk of injury. There's always a risk of injury, but we know concussions are a big deal. So it's good to teach the kids the fundamentals without having to really worry about banging heads.
Absolutely. It takes the impact out of it. You're basically doing the same thing, especially from a defensive standpoint. And I'm a bit of a defensive guy. And, you know, we teach the exact same form in flag football, or I do anyway, as I would tackling, except instead of, you know, shooting your uppercuts and coming through and making the tackle, you're focusing eyes at ball level and, you know, hands at the hips and just go get that flag.
I like the co-ed angle of it, too, because it allows girls to be involved. And, of course, we know the Women's Football League is a growing sport.
Yeah, absolutely. The flag football girls in the game has absolutely taken off in the city here and I think even nationwide. And that was a bit of a unique thing for me as a coach. I've never coached. I've got four boys, so, you know, I've never coached girls before and didn't even know where to start to try and find two girls. So luckily I sit with a guy at the Ryder Games who has a fantastic athlete for a daughter. And so we hooked her up real quick and then she was able to track down one of her friends and flag football partners. And honestly, those two girls were a big factor because a lot of teams played man-to-man defense, and so our mismatches oftentimes were with the quality of talent of those two females that we had on the team.
Tyler Lloyd, was it an eye-opener for you to coach girls in the sense that, you know, you like you said, you have four boys at home, you've coached boys, you talk to boys maybe in a different way, you expect different things from, you know, maybe boys, and I'm not trying to be chauvinistic, but was it an eye-opener for you?
You know what? I thought it was going to be, and my wife cautioned me because she's coached at the high school level in basketball for quite a while, and I can be a bit of a loud, intimidating kind of guy. And those girls were fantastic. They, for the 2.5 hours that we practiced, you know, they right off the hop, you could tell that, you know, they were athletic. They knew what they were doing. They're playing flag football right now with the school system, and they're clearly well coached wherever they're playing. And it was a lot more of a seamless transition than I thought it was going to be.
Hey, what's the team name? So we can follow you down. Do you have a team name?
We do. We're the NOD because we're all North of Dewdney kids, right? So we had to throw that in there. We're just the North of Dewdney Riders.
Awesome. I love it. Tyler Lloyd and the NOD Riders going to Ottawa to represent our city and our province in that flag football tournament in during Grey Cup week in Ottawa. Thanks for this, Tyler.
Hey, anytime.
All right, we're rolling along here on the Growing the Game podcast. I am Michael Ball, and if you recognize this next voice, it's because he does the intro and the extra of this show. It's Dave Thomas from CJWW in Saskatoon, the voice of the Huskies. He's the voice of football in Saskatoon. Hey, Dave, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on. We'll get to the Huskies in a second. I know you used to be the big-time voice of the Hilltops, but you got other things on the go with the Rush and some other duties at the station, so you're not so much with the Hilltops, but we know you got your jelly-stained finger on the pulse of their football team, too. So with regards to the Hilltops, they got a big playoff game against the Rifles. What can you tell us about that matchup?
Well, it's going to be an interesting matchup because it comes down in a lot of ways to the mental preparation in this game. The Winnipeg Rifles, I think, have been coming on strong all season. But for whatever reason, if it's the long bus ride to Saskatoon, if it's just seeing the blue and gold lining up, for some reason there seems to be a mental block that comes out when the Winnipeg Rifles come to Saskatoon or they face the Hilltops. And I wish that I could put my finger on what it is, but it's just simple mistakes that consistently seem to plague the Rifles whenever they take on the Hilltops. A couple of seasons ago, the Rifles looked like they're in town for a huge upset on the Hilltops, but they'd go ahead and they'd actually end up fumbling the ball not once, not twice, but three times in the final 2 minutes to essentially give the game away to the Hilltops. That being said, though, the Hilltops are the defending Canadian Bowl champions for a reason. Yes, they've got a new starting quarterback this year after the graduation last year of their pivot in Jared Andrechuk. But that being said, the offense hasn't missed much of a beat, and they're actually going to get bolstered by the return of Logan Fisher, one of the most dynamic running backs. Actually, head coach Tom Sargent explained and or described him as being perhaps one of the best big game players that he has seen over his 20-plus years on the sidelines with the Hilltops, which is some pretty big praise. So the offense for the Hilltops, they are ready to go. They've got Logan Fisher back to bolster them. So if it's going to be a cool day at all in Saskatoon, which it doesn't look like it's going to be for game day against the Rifles, you know that first and foremost, that offense will be clicking. Defensively, the Hilltops, they pride themselves in being physical and fast, and that's what the Rifles are going to have to contend with. Can they just beat that defense of the Hilltops? Which, again, is another way and another way that you look at this matchup as to whether or not the Rifles can go ahead and get the upset here in Saskatoon.
Man, I lost count. So it's three. They're going for four national championships in a row, if I'm not mistaken. So
no,
what is
no
it,
one has ever done four, and that's what they're trying to drive for.
Yeah, drive for four, okay. You know, it's kind of like a mini Pittsburgh Steelers or whatever, mini Edmonton Eskimos of the 70s and 80s. So, you know, junior football, like high school football, is cyclical. This is an amazing feat. How have they been able to do it year after year after year?
Well, the one thing is consistency, and that comes from the head coach, Tom Sargent. They've had his message in place for more than two decades, but also in his recruiting of players, because he's quite frank with the players when he meets them. As a first-year player with the Saskatoon Hilltops, you probably are not going to travel, and you very likely are not going to play in a lot of football games. However, it's that the tradition that he builds with those first years. So they come in and they're pushing the second and third years to try and unseed them and get playing time in year two of their career. And then he makes it all about his fifth year, and he makes no bones about it. When you're a fifth-year player in the Hilltops program, the season is for you. He wants you to go out as a champion, and he'll do everything that he can to ensure that you do that. So it's having that tradition from the ground up and starting with the very first-year rookies right out of high school and then building them into fifth-year players. That's the secret. That's the key, is going ahead and keeping them within the system for 5 years. So by the time that you go ahead and you step into that person that has departed the program, by the time you step into that role, you know the job, you know the role, and you're ready to execute at a high level.
Well said by Dave Thomas, voice of the Huskies, and also covers Hilltops football. Okay, so that's one Saskatoon entity. The other one is the U of S Huskies coming off a 50-40 shootout loss to the U of R Rams. You've got the blackout game Saturday versus UBC. That is a huge game. Now, do you get back some reinforcements, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, and that's the main goal. We're going to find out where everyone is at. Most of the players are undergoing medical clearance today to find out where they're at. But you talk about the linebackers, you lose Benkick, you lose guys like Justin Filto, you lose Ben Whiting for a while. Thackerdine didn't start the year. You've got Jacob Soley that was banged up in the last game. And again, he's a defensive back, so an undersized defensive back playing linebacker. So it's a big question mark as to whether or not that linebacking core will have gotten healthy enough to perform this week, because I named four guys that have missed significant time, and Saskatchewan runs a 4-3 defense, so you can see you're down to number 5 and 6 on your depth chart.
What do you make of this UBC team? They start slow, but as the season goes on, they find a way to pick it up usually.
Yeah, you're right. And the one thing that Blake Neal talked about this week was the fact that his team hasn't found consistency, and that's really frustrating to him because they take a giant step forward, and then the next thing you know, they're falling back two more places. He says that he's put it on the line for his team. He's challenged his players that they've got to be good. Now, the unfortunate thing, if you're the UBC Thunderbirds, you've only defeated Saskatchewan twice since 2001 in the regular season, one of which being earlier this year at home in Vancouver. So you're coming into a hostile environment in front of what will be a frenzied crowd in front of the blackout crowd at Griffith Stadium, needing a win against a team that you don't do traditionally well against and you don't play well. For some reason, the Thunderbirds have a difficult time getting it going here in Saskatoon. And some say, oh, it's the colder weather and the colder air. Well, it's going to be a beautiful night for football, so I think you can take that out of the equation. So UBC, they know that they've got to be better. They've got to perform consistently. Can they do it? That's going to be the big question mark.
Okay, so last question for you. You now from the press box and in the reporter's room, you've seen what Scott Flory, Marcus Crandall, you know, Warren Muzyka, those kind of guys have done as coaches. Have you been impressed with the new blood on the coaching staff?
You know what? It's a different feel than what it was under head coach Brian Towers, and that's not good or bad. It's just a different feel. It's more relaxed. There's a lot more teaching. There's a lot more coaching that happens with the players. There's also a lot more expected of the players because you've got those three guys that you just mentioned all with professional pedigrees, so they want to put into place a professional program, and they expect players to come in to do their work as professionals, and that's the expectation, and that's where the bar has been risen. Where they've had downfalls, and again, they're not going to say injuries, but I'm sorry, when you're starting two of three linebackers that are raw rookies at a high school, you're going to have some problems and give up 50 points to the Regina Rams. But that being said, the coaching staff does a lot of teaching. They're implementing new systems, but now they're going ahead and they're ditching all the excuses. They've got three games left in the regular season. They want to get back into the playoffs. They want to try to make a push for a postseason home date, which again is going to be a real uphill battle. So, again, new coaching staff, some new philosophies, but really a lot more energy is the one thing you can put your finger on.
Pressure around there to get in the playoffs? I mean, it's not a lock yet. I mean, I think the Huskies will be in when it's all said and done, but is some heat around there, Dave?
I don't know if there's heat. I think that there were some expectations that were built when the team started 2-0, albeit against Manitoba and Alberta, and you should never say that in Canada West because you just never know what's going to happen week to week. But there were some expectations that were built. A real solid effort, or at least half in UBC before the injury struck, and then the second half was taken over by the Thunderbirds, and the offense went silent, only scoring 10 points out in Vancouver. And then you go into Calgary, you play a solid three quarters, and then really what was a 14-point swing, a tip pass, ends up as a pick six in the end zone, and then an opportunity for a 109-yard touchdown goes for naught, and two plays later a fumble, and it ends up in the back of your end zone. So that swayed the game, those two plays. You take those away, and it's a great game against Calgary. And then, you know, I'm sorry, anytime you put 40 points on the board, you should win a football game. Unfortunately, the defense couldn't execute against Regina. So, again, all winnable games. But, yeah, I think there's a little pressure, but some expectation, too, for the team to continue to show improvement.
This guy here puts on a great broadcast on CJWW, the voice of the U of S Huskies, Dave Thomas. I love this guy. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, and he's not done because he's going to extra the show. That's how important he is to this broadcast. All right, on our Growing the Game podcast now, it's our Rough Rider panelist on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network and former rider, great Chris Best. Now, Bestie, you were a part of the 2007 Grey Cup Championship, a team that's going to be honored here at halftime here at the Rider Game Friday against Ottawa. Best, what do you remember about 2007? What's the first thing that pops into your mind?
Just what a great locker room we had. I was a rookie in 2007. I was very fortunate to come into just a great locker room full of a lot of great guys. We had a lot of vets then, and like both offense, defense, special teams, a lot of guys who had been around, played together a long time. And like, yeah, it was, I mean, it's one of those cliche things you hear about the locker room is like a family, but it really was like a family that year.
How much does it piss you off when people say, you know, if Kevin Glenn wasn't hurt, the Riders might not win that Grey Cup?
Those coulda, woulda, shouldas. I mean, that's basically every single game. Like, part of the, like, the Grey Cup, it's a very, very long season. To actually get to the Grey Cup, usually the healthiest team, the luckiest team wins more often than the best team wins, you know? And, like, we were lucky that year. We were a good team, don't get me wrong. We were very fortunate to be quite healthy going into the Grey Cup. You know, we had almost all of our starters out there. And, you know, Kevin Glenn gets hurt. That's too bad for Winnipeg, but that is how these things happen, you know? People get hurt. The next man has to play. And, unfortunately, that next guy wasn't good enough to get the job done for them.
What I remember about the 2007 Grey Cup was your less than spectacular receiving core, in terms of perceived talent, right? The Michael Palmers and such. And then you had your own version of Larry Brown. It was James Johnson with that interception game.
Oh, yeah. JJ played amazing that game. He picked a great day to have his best game ever, for sure. So that was, JJ was a great guy, for sure. And to see him play so well on a big stage like that, that was awesome to see. And, yeah, I mean, Palmer, he was maligned a lot, but he had actually a decent year that year. I think probably his best in the CFL overall that year. Had a bunch of clutch catches for Kerry Joseph there. I don't think he ever quite hit those heights again. So, I mean, if you're going to pick a year to have a great year, if you're going to win a great cup, that goes quite well together. Well, had a young Andy Fantuz then. He was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I meant by that is they're talented guys, but it's not like you'd see now where it's a high-flying receiving core. It was kind of like indicative of your team, a good locker room, just scratching and clawing and putting things together. You mentioned Kerry Joseph. Just talk about his season. You know, you remember that Labor Day Classic, and here's a guy brought in and only one of four quarterbacks to lead this team to a championship.
Oh, yeah, Kerry Joseph was a great guy for sure. You know, as I said, I was an awestruck rookie around him, so I didn't know him too well. Luckily, I got a chance to play with him later in his career in 2014. But, yeah, he was the unquestioned leader of the team. You know, like him and Ken Austin seemed to have a really good dynamic together. Obviously, Ken Austin had been a quarterback with the Rough Riders too, so they kind of shared that unique insight. And, like, yeah, he had Kerry playing at such a high level that year. And, man, some of those games, yeah, you mentioned Labor Day, like Kerry basically put the team on his back and said, I'm going to win this game. And he was such a talented player that he could do things like that. It was amazing to watch.
You know, and to a man, including, I just talked to Kerry Joseph not that long ago, and KJ said the one thing that he remembers winning that Grey Cup were the tears streaming down Gene Mikowski's face. You know, obviously, Gino was a guy you looked up to being a rookie in that locker room. What was that like for you to see how much it meant to him?
Oh, it was huge for both Gino and I'd like to say Jeremy O'Day as well, because both those guys have been around a long time. And I think J.O. won one Grey Cup with Toronto, but he'd been 12, 13 years with the Rough Riders without winning anything. So it was, at that point, we'd only won two Grey Cups in almost 100 years. So, like, they did not come around very often in Saskatchewan. So to see a guy like Gino to put all that effort in, all those years in, being on all those bad, bad teams, to finally have that all pay off for him, I mean, it was incredible. And, like, you could just see he was, like, the biggest kid out there. He was just so happy. So, man, it was awesome to see for Gino, for sure.
Speaking of the playoffs, Chris Best, are you surprised tonight when the Riders play the Ottawa Redblacks, they could clinch a playoff spot?
It is. I mean, I'm not surprised. It is that time of year, you know, where, like, yeah, people start to be clinch playoff spots.
Bestie.
Yes, the start of the year, we were talking third place, fourth place, and, like, we were not feeling as good about the Rider team then as we do now. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, we've grown. We've come a long way since then, and, like, we've seen this team put out some absolutely dominating performances out there. You know, like, there's been some hiccups too. There's no doubt about that. But, like, the way this team is capable of playing, and the way we've seen them play a couple times against some good Western teams, not Calgary, unfortunately, but other good Western teams. Like, you look at that team and say, yeah, that team belongs in the playoffs. No, there's no doubt about that.
Hey, how do you get Dan Clark back on the roster? Your friend Dan Clark, who is obviously a great story, working his way up from the Thunder program, paying his dues. Guy makes a pretty good buck. He's due to come off the injured list. How do you break up that offensive line the way they've been playing for the most part?
Oh, that is a hard one, I know, because they have had such success at offensive line. It really comes down to a ratio question, you know, like, because Clark, he's obviously Canadian. You know, right now we're playing three Americans on the offensive line, and you'd ideally like to only have two, which gives you a little more flexibility elsewhere in your roster. But, I mean, like, because we play two Canadian D-tackles as well, like, we have a little more flexibility than a lot of teams do. That's a hard question, because I want to see Clarkie out there so bad. I mean, I think he's one of the, like, he's severely underappreciated. But it's a question. Do you have another, you know, is there an American spot you want to put out somewhere right now? Is there, like, a roster spot you want to change?
Yeah.
And right now, with the way things are going, I'm just not sure what they want to change.
Do you think Dan Clark's back next year with the Rough Riders, or does he test free agency and maybe we could be looking at Dan Clark's last year in Rider colors?
I think if it's up to Dan, he'll stay here forever. He loves it. He bleeds green more than almost anyone I've ever played with, and he absolutely loves it here. So, like, I hope this is not his last year because I think he deserves to play his entire career here, and, like, I think he feels the same way.
Okay, so the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, as we talked about, part of the reason they're where they're at is because Brandon Bridge has, like, 800 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. How do you feel about the quarterbacking situation? Sometimes they say if you've got 2 quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks, but that doesn't seem to be the case with the Rough Riders.
I was super proud of how Brandon Bridge came in last week and really performed well. Like, we've seen him have success in previous games in kind of a more controlled offense, like, you know, like making a lot of throws easy for him and stuff like that. Last game, he came in there, came in down, you know, like basically had to provide the spark, and he stepped up the challenge and provided that spark. Like, you know, there was a couple big throws that went to Caleb Hawley right before halftime, you know, like he played really, really well. So, like, I'm very proud of what Bridge did. And in terms of how that makes, I mean, obviously Coach Jones said there's no quarterback controversy going forward, but, I mean, every time Brandon Bridge steps on the field and lights it up like he has these last couple times, you know, he's making it harder and harder for them to say, you know, Kevin Glenn is our guy, you know, because I do still believe Kevin Glenn's our guy, but Brandon Bridge, man, he is making it a very hard conversation right now.
Talking about growing the game, this is the Growing the Game podcast. I'm talking with Chris Best, former Rider great. Of course, we talked about the 2007 Grey Cup Championship. You can hear him on our Rough Rider Radio Network on 620 CKRM. Bestie, we talked about Clark being a Thunder guy. Zach Evans is a Thunder guy. We got Evan Johnson from the U.S. Huskies. We got some good local products here in this game.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I remember Zach coming in as he was probably 19 when I first met him. He was like a puppy with big paws. You could just see the potential in him. But he just wasn't quite there yet. And over the course of his Rough Rider career, like, he started to put it all together, you know? Like, it was always because he was always Keith Shulgin's backup. There was always kind of a comparison to him and Keith, rightly or wrongly. And then as you watch over the course of his Rough Rider career, whether he was better than Sholo, and as they left, you know, he was getting pretty close to being better than Shulgin. And I say it with no disrespect to Keith Shulgin. I think he's a great player. But then when they both went to Ottawa, which is, in hindsight, quite unfortunate, Zach pretty quickly surpassed Sholo, and now he is just a force in there. You know, like, obviously Red Blacks felt the same way. They let Keith go and they kept Zach, and he is, man, he's like a dancing bear. He's got amazing feet. He's playing really well.
That's Chris Best, and this is the Growing the Game podcast.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.